Star Wars News Net's The Resistance Broadcast. My name is John Hoey. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We are almost a short 4 weeks away from Solo, and we're going to talk about the latest TV spots and news about the movie, as well as some groundbreaking Star Wars franchise news surrounding Episode 9. So let's get it going by first saying hi to James Bainey and Lacey Gillerin. What's up, guys?
Oh, man. I'm so excited. I love doing this podcast. I just love talking about Solo, and I love talking about the Star Wars. I love talking about forces that awaken and Jedis that are the last ones around, or maybe not, you know? I don't know. I love the Resistance Broadcast.
That's very nice.
That was adorable. That was so cute and soft. Aw. How's it going, guys? I'm still dealing with a broken heart from all the Han and Baby Ben scenes in Last Shot, but hopefully I'll feel a little better after this podcast.
Womp womp. No, you won't. Not if I have anything to do about it.
Wampa wampa.
I like that. All right, guys. Before we get into the news and stuff like that, we have to go over some poll results. We had asked you guys, which character do you think will end up being the best part of Solo: A Star Wars Story? And 17% of you said Han Solo, 37% of you said Lando, and the biggest vote went to Chewbacca. 45% of you said Chewie is going to steal the show in Solo: A Star Wars Story, and only 1% of you said Other. So it's coming down to those three, it appears. So what do you guys think? Are you guys surprised that Chewie won the vote on this by such a large margin?
I actually am. I thought Donald Glover, a.k.a. Lando, was going to pull ahead. That was my vote. I'm surprised Chewie, but I feel like in the past week I've learned a lot of people really, really genuinely love Chewie, and it's like their favorite character, which I was unaware of, but that's awesome.
Well, he's definitely not the coolest character because you guys did not vote for him. Man, if only the March Madness was like around May, I think that with this movie, people would have been like, I love Chewie, you know what I mean?
I think they got pretty close.
Was it Kylo Ren?
They got pretty close. To the right
he
choice.
Lost to
Vader.
I don't know. He might have lost to Vader. No, I don't
no,
know.
No.
He was on the other Kylo side. Ren. He might have lost to Kylo Ren.
Oh, sorry. I was talking about my baby boy Kylo Ren losing to Vader.
Yeah, that happened. That definitely happened.
Between Lando Calrissian and Chewbacca, I think, now I definitely know people are like hyped on Donald Glover coming in as Lando Calrissian. I get that. But like when I kind of look at this, I'm kind of looking at like who's going to be a breakout character. Cassian Andor or K2SO, and you're like, oh, okay, all right, so it's kind of like the side character of the movie versus the fun comic relief sort of character. And I think that people are gonna love them both for different reasons. They're gonna like want to be Lando, and they're gonna want to hang out with Chewie.
I think that what's gonna surprise people is everyone is gonna like L3.
Yeah, obviously the comparison there between K2SO and L3 are similar because they're droids, and they're also kind of going to be that. But I think people are just going to have so much heart for Chewie, you know, like all the things that he's going through. Like finally, just the same way as K2, like when he like is gifted the gun, you know what I mean? And when he finally like goes out. I almost choked up right there. Go back and listen to my audio. I did like a skip thinking about that emotional scene.
What
and
emotional
you didn't cry
scene.
At the end of The Director and the Jedi, and that made you choke up?
Hey, man.
Oh, my God.
When he's standing
Wait,
there and
what
he says...
what made you choke up?
Well, the scene where... I'm imagining the scene where Jin hands him the gun, and he's like, he's looking at it, and then he looks at her, and he says, you continue to amaze me, or...
I love that Mark Hamill is sobbing on the ground, like, multiple times in Director and the Jedi, and carries, like, her last presence behind the camera. Yeah. And
but
he's
Alan
just like,
Tudyk
nah, I'm good. But Alan Tudyk standing there with a puppet being like, thank you for the gun.
Yeah. So there's something, the director and the Jedi, maybe it, you know, it didn't affect me or whatever. But then because that, nothing else in Star Wars is allowed to emotionally affect me.
That's so ridiculous. That James, James's sad trigger point is comedic actors standing on stilts. That's apparently
no. His trigger point is robots because he's a robot because he has no feelings. Oh.
What are you talking about?
Well, I do agree with you guys that Chewie. I could see him winning this poll only because the past couple of TV spots that we're going to get into in a little bit show a lot of sides of Chewie that we may not necessarily have seen a lot of previously. So I could see maybe a recency factor why people may have voted for Chewie.
Did you see, though, that Andy from Star Wars show, she had tweeted about the TV spot specifically because they did a poll on who everybody liked the most. Mm-hmm. And then everybody put Chewie. And then the next TV spot that came out was mostly Chewie.
I don't know. There might have been a coincidence unless they really slapped together a TV spot real quick.
You never know.
But we do have a best comment, and it was Graham Mayshark at Graham_Mayshark. Way to get your handle, Graham. And he said, really depends on how much we actually see of Lando and Chewie throughout. But for me, while there are diminishing returns to a smooth Lando delivery, I cannot tell you how many years I've waited to see Chewie smash stormtroopers into the ground and finally take Han down a peg. So I can see that from that angle. So thank you, Graham, for that. Now, James, we actually have a winner for the Lenovo Jedi Challenges. So yeah. Someone's going to join you in having this game.
Oh, it's so cool, man. And I saw like a big push Lenovo is doing right now. They're reaching out to all these different sites and telling them about how augmented reality is coming in. And it's not exactly augmented, but it's like, you know, you can play HoloChess and all this other stuff. They're doing a big push on it right now. And everybody's like super excited on this thing. I got to try it back when I went to the global press conference for The Last Jedi, and it was just so cool then. I was so glad that they hooked us up, but they gave us two. So we're giving one away, and we have a winner.
Who is it, James?
The winner for the Lenovo Star Wars Jedi Challenges game, and this was for YouTube subscribers only. So this person went to YouTube, liked our video, and commented with whether they would rather train as a Jedi or a Sith, and they said, definitely train as a Jedi. Mm. Lane Hickerson, you just won.
Yay, Lane.
A $200 Lenovo game.
Awesome, Lane.
That is awesome, man. You're going to have so much fun playing that thing. It's really cool.
Yeah, so Lane, please email us at resistancebroadcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at RBATSWNN, however you want to get in touch with us so that we can get in touch with you and get your info and get that out to you. So congratulations. And for those of you who have recently subscribed to our YouTube channel, thank you for entering that contest and joining that platform of our show. We may do some more stuff like that in the future for exclusive YouTube stuff. But now, James, it is time to break into the news net. So what do we have going this week?
Well, it's about time. This week, we got the news from an interesting source that Lucasfilm has hired Victoria Mahoney as the second unit director for Episode 9. Now, we don't normally hear much about these positions as they get filled, but this one is particularly interesting because it marks the first time that not only a woman will be in this prestigious role, but a person of color. So I mentioned earlier that we were getting this from an interesting source, and that interesting source came from Ava DuVernay, who we know, you know, helped a little bit in The Force Awakens and has been rumored a lot about directing a Star Wars movie of her own. And I think that was kind of interesting because then after she posted it, Victoria herself took to her own social media and said, you know, I'm glad to be in here and thanks to Ava for throwing my hat in the ring. This was interesting to me because I have long time said that there was no chance that Lucasfilm was good looking at Ava DuVernay as a director. And hearing now that she was the person who kind of suggested Victoria for this role was interesting to me because it made me think, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they actually were looking at Ava as a director. They went to her and she said, sorry guys, Star Wars is not for me, but I do have some suggestions for other people that I've worked with in the past that are really awesome, that would be great for Star Wars, and threw her hat in the ring, and Lucasfilm or J.J. Abrams took to it and was like, yeah, this is good. This is a person that we want. John, what do you think about this situation?
I'm surprised by the choice only because I'm not going to say it's a blind faith choice, but if you look at her resume, there's TV work and stuff like that. But when you think of someone who's going to take part in directing the final saga film in the biggest film franchise of all time, a name like that, I doubt anybody thought of that name.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if anybody said that they saw this coming, they'd be lying to us, right?
Sure.
So it's a surprising choice in that matter. With that said, I think it's great because it all the people who have been screaming about this and yelling at Lucasfilm every time a white man was being announced for a new project are like, okay, so they are aware, they have their finger on the pulse, they understand that we need something going on here. Now, what's funny about this is this could have been a decision made a long time ago, but Kathleen Kennedy wasn't ready to announce it yet. You know what I mean? So, like, she could have been, and Lucasfilm could have been hearing all these people angry and probably sitting there like, well, we have plans in place and there's probably more in place, but they weren't ready to announce it yet because mm-hmm. they do things at their pace. They don't owe anything to anybody. Just like how Star Wars isn't yours in front of the camera, it's not yours behind the camera either. It's their call to make when they want to make it. So like I've been saying, I think Kathleen Kennedy, she's not stupid. She knows the climate. She knows what's going on. I recently saw an interview with Bob Iger talking about how he was the one who was pushing Black Panther and Ryan Coogler.
Yeah.
They're aware of what's going on, and we're going to have more announcements coming soon. I did look at her reel because, Lacey, I'll let you talk about that in a minute because you pointed that out to me and was intrigued by what I saw. But I trust their decisions. I always have. They, like they said, in 1980, they brought in Irvin Kershner to do Empire. People thought that was a bad decision, and it wound up being the best Star Wars movie of all time. So interested to see what she does in the second unit role.
Yeah, Lacey, you were able to find that this reel, and I didn't know that that even existed, but when you sent it over, we were kind of watching it and talking about it a little bit, and to me, it looks still like a lot of things that you would normally see in television. It looks like a television reel, basically. But at the same time, what were some of the things that you noticed that could be really cool or utilized in a Star Wars Episode 9 second unit director, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, I'm super excited about this choice. You know, to have a woman in a role like second unit director is a huge accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool mm-hmm. to see a woman behind the camera for a Star Wars film that's starring, you know, the main character at this point, Rey, is a woman herself. And I apologize in advance. I don't remember who said this, but to have a person of color be directing Finn and to have a woman be, you know, working with Rey potentially. It's really exciting. And yeah, she's not going to be shooting the on-camera actor stuff with JJ, but she might step in here and there. So it's really cool to have that perspective that JJ might not have.
Not to mention, too, the non-Caucasian Oscar Isaac.
Correct. Correct. Yes. Yeah. The tweet was specifically about Finn and Rey. That's why I brought that up. But
sure.
Yeah, no, So when they made the announcement, I was like a crazy person on Twitter at the time. So I saw it like right when they made it. And the first thing I did was check out her page. I hadn't really heard about her. But in her Twitter bio, and all the listeners can check it out, she does have her director reel up there. So I did watch it. I thought it was really, really cool. It kind of had, to me, a very Defenders, Netflix, Jessica Jones feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
It had that look, and I loved the use of jib shots and tracking shots and the way she shot perspective through doorways and keyholes and using people's shoulders to frame shots. And she definitely feeds off of emotion and feeds off of character development, which is super important to me as someone that's my favorite part of Star Wars is character development. Explosions and lightsabers are cool, but I really like how the characters interact. So to see someone that cares about that development and the way the characters interact with each other is important for me, especially given where the sequel trilogy has gone with Kylo Ren and all the other characters and Rey and finding out who they are. So I just think it's a really, really exciting choice, and I'm excited to see where it goes. And plus, I trust JJ's judgment. I mean, he gave us The Force Awakens. He was on set with Rian Johnson, so he knows what's going on. He knows what good work looks like. So I totally trust his judgment, and I trust Ava's judgment. So if she was to put this person in the ring, it's because she believes them wholeheartedly. And again, like John said, we have to just kind of trust what they think. Also, Rian hadn't done a big movie like this before, and his movie was awesome. So I'm all for it.
And same, like I said, same with the Kersh. Well, people, I imagine if Twitter existed in 1979 and George Lucas was like, I'm bringing in Irvin Kershner to direct the sequel, Star Wars Part Two, people would be like, who? Like, there's no IMDb. How do I find out about this guy?
There's
no
IMDb.
Library and look up this guy?
Look, everybody's got to start somewhere, and that's what people need to remember. Everyone's got to start somewhere.
Well, we also had a little bit of news coming from the Star Wars show. Anthony Carboni, host of the show, got a chance to interview both writers of Solo, A Star Wars Story, Lawrence and John Kasdan. They talked a little bit about what it meant for them to work together on a film and what Star Wars means to their family. If you haven't checked it out, you can find the episode on Star Wars' YouTube channel where they host the interview in its entirety. Now, John, how cool was it to hear about the process of diving back into Han Solo for these guys?
It made me really excited. Talk about fan service. We talked about this last week. Lawrence Kasdan writing Han Solo. That's some fan service right there, man, because aside from A New Hope, this guy wrote Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, The Force Awakens, and now here we are with Solo, A Star Wars Story. And hearing how he kind of didn't picture him being able to write this without his son. And apparently John was involved a little bit with some ideas with The Force Awakens, which I didn't know about.
Yeah, he was involved at the end with Kylo and Han Solo.
That's interesting to me. That is very interesting to me, because who knows, maybe a couple of the ideas he made that scene more believable or something.
They definitely did. On the commentary with J.J. Abrams for The Force Awakens, he mentions how John helped with that scene and made it more believable for Kylo Ren to relate to his father, which is interesting when you think about it, when father and son are writing it, and then the son is writing the son part, and the father's writing the father part. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And maybe that incorporated into them writing Han now, because you have John who's younger and Han's younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I really took to them saying, we're not just filling a Han Solo backstory here. That really impressed me a lot. And also the fact that they brought up their number one question they asked themselves was, how did he become the cynic? That's what they kept asking themselves. How do we get him to the episode 4 point? Without it being too like pushed, we're like, hey, we're at the cantina now, and now we're going to be this guy. And then the thing I really got a kick out of them talking about how they wrote lines for Chewie throughout the whole movie. And I don't know if people know this, but George did that way back in the first Star Wars movie. There's actually a clip on YouTube I tweeted out of Peter Mayhew saying, that old man is mad. And Han saying, boy, you said it, Chewie. Where'd you dig up that old fossil? So they've been doing that for a while, but it's cool to see that they still wrote dialogue out for Chewie.
You know, it's funny you say that, because going back a little bit to what you said, John, when you talked about how we find out how Han got so jaded, I've been saying that for the past two shows. That's what I'm mm-hmm. most excited about, is Han, how he got from optimistic, I have a good feeling about this, to I have a bad feeling about this, everything sucks, this hokey religion, mm-hmm. like cranky old man. And I'm so pumped that Lawrence said that. And I'm really excited that father and son wrote this together. I think that's like really cute. And I know that's like a lame mm-hmm. term to use, but the idea that you have someone like Lawrence who is living and breathing and knows Han, and the way he spoke about it on the Star Wars show is like, Han is his baby, so to speak. Like Han yeah. is his favorite character. He loves Han. He knows Han in and out. So for anybody to question what Lawrence thinks about Han is like questioning J.K. Rowling what she thinks about Harry Potter. Like, she right. knows him, believes in him, and same thing with Lawrence. And I'm just like really excited about it. So when they said that they used dialogue with Chewie and Han so that Alden and Jonas could work together and do a good job, that gets me really excited too, because mm-hmm. the way they talked about how they progressed across the production of the movie and got closer and closer, you know that's going to be like an organic transition from getting to know each other to being best friends.
I thought the whole thing about we keep coming back to this thing is, how does he get from being optimistic to being pessimistic, is interesting, because I feel like as a fan community, we've been trying to figure out what is that thing. Oh, well, Kira's going to die and that's going to make him, or Beckett's going to betray him, and then that's how he's mm-hmm. gonna whatever. And it looks like it might not be just like one main event, because if they keep coming it back to it, they must have wrote that like that one scene and then be like, okay, well that explains it, but that wasn't enough. So it's right. gotta be like multiple things that is happening throughout this movie that's just gonna hit him like hard throughout the movie, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's definitely something we've just learned in Star Wars, is that it's never one thing that makes someone change. It's multiple choices, multiple actions, mm-hmm. multiple things that happen that take one person from point A to point B. You know, Luke didn't just decide to become the hero. It took several steps to get to that point.
He had to be really whiny for two movies, and then
he
became cool.
He just wants to go to the Tosche station.
But my friends, I gotta go help him.
God.
Kasdan loves things to have nice bookends. I always noticed how he writes things. So he likes symmetry and neatness with his characters, like the I love you, I know, when he brought it back in Return of the Jedi, like, to mirror it, like yin-yang it. But
you mean like how everybody's been saying where Beckett's like, didn't he have the line about betrayal in the trailer? Like, be careful who's going to betray you. And then ultimately down the road, he gets betrayed by his own, like, blood getting stabbed through the chest. Like, that's a prime example of, like, he starts off and he's like, be careful, people will betray you. And then and then his life ends by being betrayed by someone that he loved, you know, his own child.
Which is better than our fake advice quotes that we had last week. But those were fun, though. If you haven't listened, go back to last Thursday's episode. We had some fun with those.
I think it's funny that everybody is calling him Beckett when his name is Tobias. So like, it's like we refer to every other character by the first name, but for some reason he's just kind of picked up that like natural, like his last name, he goes by his last name kind of thing. But it's like, is anybody even doing that?
Yeah, I think it's, for me at least, I don't know about anyone else, it's kind of funny because Ron Howard, it makes me think of Arrested Development and like Tobias with like never knew jean shorts, like I blew myself, right. Tobias.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to ever hear that name because that's what immediately I go to. So I'm just going with Beckett so that I don't think of never nude.
It is funny. It's kind of a weird name. It's not like Therm, but
maybe Beckett turns on Han because Han keeps calling him Tobias. And he's like, I hate that name. Like an Indiana Jones thing. Like, don't call me Tobias.
I could
like,
totally see. Okay,
so maybe he walks in on him in jean shorts refresher.
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
I totally could see Woody Harrelson like with dip in his cheek. And he's like, I told you, don't call me. Don't call me that. I don't like it. Like... We got to talk about this, guys. We actually got two new TV spots. The TV spots are rolling out, guys. They're naming these. Yeah, they're naming these now, too. What was the first one was Crew. What was the second one called?
Risk.
Risk. That's
it's
right.
It's a board game.
Risk. All right. Yeah, so they're jumping onto the train. Man, these were really, really cool. They were different. The music to me, I don't know about you guys, but the music to me felt a lot different. Whereas the first ones kind of felt like an indie rock band or kind of something like that. This music to me felt like kind of, I don't want to say new age, but like kind of like industrial, or I think Coal Chamber did the trailer music for this.
Get the heck out of
here.
He's
like, get the heck out of here. No, I actually, though, it does kind of sound like a little bit more electronic than the other stuff that we saw. So definitely whoever's writing the and all the trailer music is going to be performing at Coachella.
Prodigy.
What were some of the cool like standout things of these trailer for me? It was Lando Calrissian's voice in some of these spots, man. Billy D practically did ADR for this because, like, it sounds like Donald Glover, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. He sounds good. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, the Millennium Falcon, you know, boom, like, and like, I'm like, oh my gosh, man. Like, I don't know how he's doing it, but somehow we all want Alden to be either, you know, his own character or to be Harrison Ford impression. Like, what should he do? And like somehow like Donald Glover is just managing to do both. I don't see how he's doing it, but he's doing it. What did you think of these trailers, Lacey?
I thought they were super fun. But I'm the person that's like, everything's amazing. It's Star Wars.
Everything is awesome.
So like, I just laugh when I see stuff online that are people are like, I don't know how I thought about this, or I guess I'm finally convinced. Are you kidding? They could show me nothing and I'd show up like a billion times, and like I just love everything about Star Wars. So yes, these were amazing. My favorite part, and I tweeted about it, was the card game, and I think it's the Crew one, at the end where he shows his cards to Chewie and Chewie's just like, oh God, but like in Chewie's way. And it's just so funny.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I tweeted out that I was like, I wish a Chewie would follow me around and comment on my life choices, because that would be all he did all day is like, oh, Lace, you're wearing that. Oh, God, you're eating that. Oh, God, what are you doing? One more beer. Oh, God. But yeah, no, I really loved it. I thought they were really fun, really quickly paced. I found out that everyone wears capes in these movies, and I love it, and I'll take it. They were really cool.
Lacey, I'm 100% with you too on like the people that are like, I'm finally sold on it now. I think it's going to be fun. Because like, I understand that everybody's different, but man, you know when I was sold on Solo, besides when they announced Solo? When that
the Star
when that
War
first like the big game trailer, you know, came on, and it was just this top down shot of a crowd in like a what looked to be like a train station or something, I was like, yep, sold. Like, that looks just like a whole new world, and it looks dark, and it looks interesting and gritty, and it kind of reminds me of a Rogue One, and they had me in a single shot. But I love all the TV spots too. What do you think, John? What was your favorite thing from these? What takeaway did you get?
Well, the crew one, just like the word alone, crew. I'm just thinking of like galvanizing, good time, like let's do this, a group effort, camaraderie type of thing. And what I took away from that was Han asking Chewie his name. So that's kind of, that's like confirming that moment, which is going to be kind of an iconic moment. Though they'll probably do it subtly. If I know Kasdan, it'll just be like, and he's like, oh, okay. Like Lacey said, the showing him the cards thing, that was weirdly a moment where I was like, that's Han Solo. Where he's like tapping it and he's like, what do you think? And Chewie just like, oh.
Yeah. Like
what have
we
you
have
done?
No
Why
chance.
Did you, like, what are we doing
like, I
here?
Thought, yeah, like I thought you said you knew how to play this game. Like one of those things.
Now, and, do you guys think that Han actually has a bad hand, or do you think that that's like Chewie, like,
no,
totally playing the game?
I think it's a work. I think they're working the system, and I would love that.
But
and
at
then,
the same time, it makes me think of The Force Awakens, where he's like, you know, I'm just going to talk my way out of this. And Chewie's like, oh, and he's like, I always do. I always do this.
Every yes,
time.
I
like,
do.
That's
every
what
time.
I thought about. Every time.
I like seeing Warwick Davis. It looks like he's going to be part of the Cloud Rider gang. And like James, you were saying, Lando's voice. Like months ago, I tweeted, I hope for continuity's sake, Lando says Han, because that will show me a lot more than just that. Like, it shows me that they are really paying attention to the history of this character and the continuity of this character and the story in general. Because they very easily could have just had him say Han, and people would have been like, oh, you know? So the fact that they paid attention to that little detail shows that they paid attention to everything else that we need them to pay attention to.
Yeah, it really shows that they're coaching them on their dialogue. It's almost as if they brought in a dialogue coach to, you know, nah, I don't know. All right.
I really love how in the one of the spots, and I'm sorry, I don't know which one's which because I just watched them back to back, but the spot where he's talking to Kira and he's talking about, he's like, how'd you meet this guy and Harry? And it's just like so perfect, but he's like so close and like kind of sexual about it.
Yeah.
What are you doing with Harry and the boy?
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. And I love that he called Han boy. I love it.
Actually, Matt Martin tweeted about Harry and the boy, so I sent him a picture of Harry Potter and Ron Weasley. I think they were actually talking more about Harry and the Hendersons. Like, that's kind of the reference there. But I do want to say one thing, though. Speaking of talking, Jon Favreau's character showing up in a more recent trailer, like just before we recorded the podcast, a new trailer came up and we got to hear him talk about a Wookiee. Actually, he goes, "Oh, is that a Wookiee?"
Rio Durant is he's so money, but he doesn't know how to say Wookiee right.
Yeah, exactly. So, do you guys think that sounds like Jon Favreau?
I do. Initially, I was like, oh, it's Jon Favreau doing his voice, but trying to like tweak it a little bit. I was expecting it to be one of those things like the other cameos we've seen where that didn't sound like James Bond to me, or like that didn't sound like Tom Hardy to me, or like, you know, those types of things where you had no idea who it was, like Simon Pegg. I didn't know that was like that wasn't his voice, right? But this, I was like, oh, Jon Favreau, and he's a monkey.
See, that's weird to me, because like, I don't think in a million years I would have been able to pick out that was Jon Favreau. Not to say that in the movie he won't also do other lines that just straight up sounds like him, you know? But to me, this did sound like he was adding an accent. Like, it sounded to me like he put a little bit more emphasis on the Wookiee, you know? He might talk a little like that, you know, or something. And that doesn't sound like Jon Favreau to me. But I don't know. Who knows? Like I said, he might have just been excited in that moment and they thought it was a funny line. So they throw it in there. Like, and then the little kids are like, look, the little like monkey guy talked, and they want to go see the movie. So that's the whole reason they throw him in here. But we're not getting a lot of coverage on that character. You know, we keep seeing like all these other characters, but we got Val, Thandie Newton's character, and we got Rio Durant, John Favreau's character. And I mean, are these people that are just like, hi, we're here to join the crew, and then boom, like they're dead immediately? Do you think?
I don't know. Like I saw some quotes from Thandie Newton recently where she was saying something about how like Han, not, I don't know if it was like Han, like falling in love, another woman in his life. And like, I think she's going to have a bigger role than we think. Cause honestly, and I feel bad, like I keep forgetting about her character cause we haven't heard her talk.
Yeah.
We haven't really seen her aside from that shot by that fire where she's holding up her gun. Right.
No. She fires it once in one of these right. new trailers.
So either they're just not showing her a lot to us for a reason, or she's going to be like Captain Phasma. Everyone's going to be like, oh, Thandie Newton, can't wait. And it's gonna be like, that was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gwendolyn Christie, this is so awesome, you know, and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, she kind of was in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, but the next movie, she's going to be great. And
She showed up to get killed. All right, guys, I think we should move on to the final story for NewsNet. As per usual around this time, we're starting to see, you know, we normally start to see the magazines roll out with these cover stories on the latest film, Solo in this case, with new information and maybe some new shots to look forward to in the movie. This week, we were treated to both, actually, in Empire's latest issue. One of the biggest takeaways from this was the released image of Dryden Vos standing in front of Mandalorian armor. So you heard it here first. Jango lives, Boba confirmed, Dryden Vos is Sabine's mom's ex-boyfriend / father. Lacey, tell me, how stupid would someone have to be to think all of that's not true? I mean, clearly this is what Lucasfilm is telling us.
Is that a serious question, or are you being facetious?
No, I mean, like, obviously Mandalorian armor, so he has Mandalorian history, and Boba Fett is going to be front and center, and it's basically a Mandalorian movie now.
Here is the Boba standalone we've been waiting for.
It's absolutely not just like one of his artifacts that he's collected in the past. And it's
it couldn't
cool
be.
Little,
I don't know. He killed that person and he kept the armor, or maybe he does wear it around. No. But who cares? Like,
it can't be that. He has to wear it on a regular basis, and he's the king of the Mandalorian system now.
I mean, it's hard. You know, they choose these pictures, obviously, very specifically and strategically so that people do stuff like this. But I think it's really hard for anybody to just jump ahead and be like, ah, yes, this is the story. This is obviously what's going on here. I have no idea. But I'm going to guess that it's probably something he's collected, one of his kills. Maybe he puts a stripe on his face every time he kills someone, like Killmonger puts a dot on himself every time he kills. Who knows?
That'd be interesting.
But the idea that there is a costume that's Mandalorian armor is super cool. And I like that it's tying it back to the universe that way. I don't think it necessarily has to mean that he rocks that, or he's clearly, you know, Sabine's mom's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. No, I actually put out a tweet that said, you know, first and foremost, I think that all they're doing here is they're not hinting at anything crazy. They're just trying to say that this guy is a collector of things that he thinks are interesting, and he has a little museum here. And one of the things that he has on display is some ancient, like, Mandalorian armor, and he just finds that cool. I think that's all that it really is. And I put out the tweet just saying that, like, whenever I see that, like, that ancient Mandalorian armor up there, it just reminds me that all the things from, you know, Rebels and the Clone Wars and all these stories we've got in Mandalore is they exist in a real life world. And we're just seeing it in animated form. But, you know, it makes me start to picture all those episodes of Clone Wars and those episodes of Rebels, like, in real life, and what that would be like. And it just gets me really pumped up, like, you know, Tar Vizsla or Pre Vizsla, you know, all that stuff. And like, All that stuff is just really cool. And I think that's all they're really trying to say, is they're trying to say, hey, here's a new character, something you don't know, standing next to something that you're familiar with and you really love and are really excited. John, do you agree? I mean,
I it's funny because when I remember we were speculating on that photo of Paul Bettany and Ron Howard that Howard posted on his Twitter.
That's
or,
right.
His Twitter or his Instagram. And we saw that in the background, and us and everyone else who's a Star Wars like obsessed fan like said, Boba Fett's gonna be there, and we're like, yeah, it's Boba Fett, Ron Howard screwed up and this Boba Fett. And then it's like, wow, either if Ron Howard did that on purpose, and it's the biggest troll job by a director of all time, so
I
bravo,
bet he definitely
bravo
did
to Opie.
Yeah, this is again that time that we need his voice just being like, I did. Or he did.
Yeah, I did. I did troll you guys. I thought that was interesting. I mean, I'm not a big Mandalorian fan. I'm not a big Boba Fett fan. I'm not a big Jango Fett fan. So I'm not a big Sabine fan. That's not my jam.
Hold on, I just unfollowed you. Okay, continue.
Okay, perfect. Can you let me know when you mute and block to complete the trilogy there.
What'd you say?
you're such a jerk. I'm going to move on to Han as he's hanging off the side of the train, because that is, to me, a quintessential vintage Han. How the hell am I going to get out of this moment? Like, the look on his face, it's like that Han Solo moment where there is levity there, where Han was always kind of goofy. Like, how am I going to get out of this?
Like the raft cars when it starts rolling towards him and he's like, yeah. And he like pushes Chewie.
It's the same look. Yeah.
Yeah, or weapons malfunction, like, I don't know, and just blast the thing. Yeah. Like, that's his
We're
look on his
We're
face
here.
Is like,
we're fine, thanks. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, I don't know. Just fly casual. I don't know. So it's very vintage Han to me, and I don't know, I kind of dig it.
Yeah, I think it was interesting to see him hanging from the side, considering in the trailer we got him kind of saving Chewie, you know what I mean? And if he's hanging off the side, I mean, who knows? Like, our good friend Tobias could have saved him. But it's nice to think that, you know, Chewie might actually be the person that, like, reaches out his hand and grabs him and pulls him back up, you know? So it kind of goes to show that, like, sometimes Chewie will need Han's help and sometimes Han will need Chewie's help. It was an interesting image.
That scene alone just keeps building up like it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, like,
the train flips. Can we just go back to that? The train flips. It flips over.
Yeah.
Which makes sense then, because maybe he was standing on the top, and then as the train flipped, he grabbed onto a rope, and then by the time it flipped back up, he's, like, on the side now. You know what I mean? Hanging onto the rope. It could make sense. I don't know where I saw it, but somebody was talking about how they were working really hard to take this movie in a direction where no one's ever gone before. And they have done train heist like in Clone Wars or whatever, but obviously this is new for Star Wars film. So I just thought it was kind of interesting. The more and more this turns into like, I want to see him ride a speeder next to it or something, you know what I mean? And then they're like jumping from the speeder onto the train.
Like, so the speeder's like the horse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, I think we've talked the heck out of that Empire article. So I think that's pretty much everything we have for news. No other stories. Oh, except for a couple of stories. Maybe we should head over to the Scoundrels Rundown and make sure John hits us up with all the news.
All right, James, only two stories to the rundown today, so if you don't mind, let's get on board and we'll get on our way. Punch it! Star Wars Celebration returns next year, and rumors are beginning to swirl about where and exactly when it will be. We've heard Anaheim in the fall, we've heard not Anaheim in the fall. So we're just doing our best at Star Wars News.net to apply some logic to the situation until they simply just announce it. We know the last Star Wars Celebration was announced on May 4th, 2016, so it's very possible that in 11 days we may have our answer, but until then we'll wait and see. So head to StarWarsNewsNet.com for our latest speculation on all things Star Wars Celebration. We have a couple pieces up there with some logical conclusions on what we think may happen. But again, as we get more information on this, and of course when the final announcement is made, we'll have that right there for you. Don't forget, this rundown is brought to you by our store, tpublic.com/user/resistancebroadcast. We have 4 new designs, including Keep Calm and Listen to the Resistance Broadcast, Falcon Airlines, where Lando reminds you to buckle up, baby, And, hello, my name is Therm Scissorpunch. In addition to our classic designs like the Triple Solo, Supreme Leader Kylo Ren, and of course, my favorite, Gary the Porg. There are around 30 designs now, James makes most of them, and it's the best way to support our show. So thank you very much, we appreciate that. Our final story, according to Cannes Film Festival, right?
You can't pronounce it either way.
Con Solo? I don't know. It's in France. According to Cannes Film Festival, Solo, a Star Wars story will clock in at 2 hours and 15 minutes. That's pretty much dead on with the running time of both Rogue One and The Force Awakens, which were both right around that time, give or take a minute or two. So this isn't a shocking running time, but for all of us Star Wars fans, it's always good to find out this kind of stuff as we inch closer to the film's release. For the complete articles on all these stories, as well as your latest Star Wars news, reviews, editorials, and information, head to our website StarWarsNewsNet.com every day. That is it for this week's rundown, so let's check in with Lacey to see which of your questions we're going to answer this week in Ask the Resistance. Chewie, get us out of here.
All right, guys, it's that time again for Ask the Resistance. You've got questions, we've got hopefully good answers. Okay, so let's get started with our first question from Johan Persson at Yope77. Any chance we will see General Tarful in Solo? What do you think? Maybe when Han rescues Chewie? John, what do you think?
There is a chance. So if you're asking, is there a chance, like Lloyd Christmas, I will say yes, there is a chance
so
that we'll see Tarful.
Saying there's a chance.
I don't think we're going to see Tarful. I think Tarful's going to be left nicely in episode 3. And I'm going to pretend that Yoda and the Wookiees never hung out or knew each other. And I like to keep that in a safe place. So we said goodbye to Tarful the same way Yoda said goodbye to Tarful. I will miss you, blah, blah, blah. No, I think we'll see other Wookiees, but I don't think we're going to see General Tarful. But if you're saying there's a chance, Johan, I'm going to say there's a chance. How's that for an answer? So thank you for the question. And we'll find out, like I said, in about 4 weeks or so. So pretty pumped.
He's got that sweet gun.
Yeah, yeah, he does have a sweet gun. I just don't need to see him.
Fair enough. All right, our second question comes from Andrew Staley at Deuce_Staley. And he asks, what do you think of episode 9 as a possible two-part movie? Part 1 in 19 and part 2 in 20? Still have a sequel trilogy, but the end is stretched. Thanks. James, what do you think?
No, 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 no.
Oh, Andrew, I am so sorry. That was so rude. Geez, we value your question here.
You just slapped your question down with acapella.
No, no, here's the thing is this became a trend when you know, there were a lot of franchises that were doing, you know, a movie, and then they're like,
Harry
oh,
Potter,
that la-
well, Hunger yeah, Games, Hunger Divergent, Games. Twilight.
Yeah, exactly. No, but a lot of franchises are doing that, so it's obviously in the zeitgeist of like, well, what if they took the final chapter of this story and split it into two movies? Another one would be The Hobbit. You know, they took like they took one story and kind of split it up into multiple. The only thing that really makes me think they're not going to do this, I mean, not the only thing, but they've done 4, 5, and 6. That was a trilogy. 1, 2, 3. That was a trilogy. Now they're doing 7, 8, 9. That was a trilogy. To split it up, it would be weird and obscure to this set that they've done, and the box set would be, I don't know, super strange to have like this extra tacked on thing. And
I think the biggest, are we getting more shirtless scenes? Because then I will take yeah. two movies if there are two like longer stretched. Shirtless.
I'll just take that scene and slow it down like to 1%, and it'll
Rey
drag
keep,
out over Rey 2 hours.
Rey
for
is
you.
Keeping her shirt on. Okay,
I'm not talking about Rey.
Bubble. Oh,
I'm talking but, about Chewie.
The biggest thing for me is the fact that they're not named movies. So like, I know that they're like The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, but they're episode 7 and episode 8. So to say episode 9 part 1 and episode 9 part 2 is weird because that's episode 10. Like, I don't care how you try to say it's like, well, it's really 9, but it's split into...
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's 10, you know?
Yeah.
So that just gets weird to me. If they didn't have numbers associated with them and they were trying to say, you know, Legacy of the Dark Part 1 and Part 2, then I'd be like, okay, Avengers Infinity War. You know, they're doing like a Part 1, Part 2 sort of, although I think they're going to call it something different. Anyway, the point is I don't think that's going to be the case. So,
and you're gonna have to recast Daisy Ridley because she said she's done after episode.
Yeah,
one.
No, she came out and said that she wasn't.
No, I'm kidding. Just
it was in Rolling Stone.
No, it was in Rolling Stone. She came out and said she was done after episode 9, part 2.
She said it, and then she backtracked.
She said she was done after episode 9, part 2. And everybody was like, what? All right, so that's my answer. I don't think it's happening.
Solid. I mean, that's a logical explanation. I just don't see them doing it because it doesn't make sense in the story to split it up, just like it didn't make sense for any of those other movies, Hunger Games, Harry Potter, Divergent, plus, Twilight. It's just a money grab, and I don't think that Lucasfilm or the story group or even Disney would go for that money grab when they're just trying to tell a really good story.
Plus, I think this next question is going to be why it won't happen.
All right. Fair enough. So the next question comes from...
If she answers it the way we're thinking.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you don't know what I'm going to say. Okay, our next question comes
from... I don't know what you're
going to
say, except in your outro, when you're going to talk about Kylo Ren without a shirt on. But
other than that, you're a loose cannon.
Oh, jeez. Okay, the next question is from Ryan Simi at RyanRyanScott00. If Solo can do well in theaters... do we see a Solo 2 fast-tracked for 2020? I don't think they're going to do a second Solo movie. I don't think he needs another movie. And I know the Legends books, he had 3 books. And I know that people love Han Solo and they want more of Han Solo. I just don't necessarily see them making another movie after this. Now, this doesn't mean that they won't. This is just my own personal opinion. And it's with all the stuff that happened with this movie, I don't know if they want to get back into that saddle, so to speak, back into that cockpit of making another Solo movie. So, I mean, we'll see, but I can't see them making one. I think they have too many other projects that they're juggling with Rian Johnson and the TV shows and the other trilogies. I can't see them doing this.
Now, the question is, did you just make Rian happy or did you just upset
Rian,
him?
Because I'm we don't so know if... sorry. I can tweet you a gif of a shirtless Kylo Ren to make you feel better.
Oh, my God.
One word answer. John, do you agree with Lacey? Do you think there's no plans for a Solo spinoff? Solo 2?
I think there will be a sequel to Solo.
Yeah, so I'm kind of on John's page and I don't want to get into it later. This could be like a discussion later down the line, but... to me, just real quick, like I think it makes sense. You hired all young actors, and you can go on as many adventures with Han Solo as you want.
Until he gets
to like age 30, or he looks very clearly older than age 30.
What if we talk about this a little more on Thursday?
Yeah.
No. Let's talk about. Okay. All right, fine. I'll wait.
Yeah, that's right.
What?
What? I thought you were going to talk more about shirtless Kylo Ren. I can't take it
anymore. No. I was just like, all right. Well, okay, cool. Well, guys, thank you so much for your questions. We really appreciate it. If you want to be on the show, you can tweet us using hashtag AskTheResistance, and maybe we'll pick your question, and that would be really cool. Back to you, John.
And as Lacey said, use that hashtag, we'll find those questions, and we'll get you on an upcoming episode. We want to thank you, yes, you, for listening and spreading the word of our show. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. As you heard earlier, we had a YouTube exclusive giveaway, and we'll likely do more format exclusive giveaways in the future. The best way to be ready for those? Subscribe, so you're ready to go. As always, visit our website, StarWarsNewsNet.com, every day for all of your latest Star Wars news, information, editorials, reviews, and more. I want to give a shout-out to Kyle Larson, Helena Biden, Jordan Pate, and our entire review team. They are truly, in my opinion, the best out there in Star Wars book and comic reviews. James, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Meyer Trunks. You can find me also endlessly working on new t-shirts for you guys. Go check those out. I hope you like them. And you can find me also just being really glad that people did give us ratings and reviews on iTunes, because every time I pop in and I see new ones, I'm like, holy cow, awesome. I'm so glad that people are actually doing this. It really means so much. It changes the way our feed works and everything. It like puts us up and we get more prestigious every time somebody just goes in and gives us like a quick little like, I love this podcast.
5 seconds for 5 stars. That's all it takes. And Lacey, where can people find you?
Everyone can find me on Twitter at Lacey Gillerin, where I tag John in pictures of shirtless Kylo Ren on the regular, and also cry about baby Ben Solo. I can't believe this happened to me. That's it.
All right, man. You can find me on Twitter, blocking Lacey, and at Johnny Hoey, and writing over at StarWarsNewsNet.com. Thank you once again for listening. Please be sure to keep spreading the word of our show to your friends and family. Anyone you know that loves Star Wars, that really is the best way for our show to grow, so thank you. Tune in on Thursday as we will discuss trailer misdirection in Star Wars, and we'll speculate on what kind of misdirection may be happening in these Solo trailers. So enjoy your week, and we'll see you in 3 days right back here on the Resistance Broadcast.